All right, so they don't just get married, of course, they have children. Six of them. One of them dies as a child. One of them dies at age 13. Four of them live to adulthood. The Elector of Saxony, Frederick the Wise, gives them the old monastery, the monastery where Luther used to live with the other monks. It's now empty, 40 rooms, 40 monastic cells, that they get filled up. Not just with Luther's children, of course, but with dozens of relatives that they take in, nieces and nephews, orphans of friends, and then eventually student boarders. Students from the University of Wittenberg are boarded at this monastery. Katie insists on charging the money. Luther probably wouldn't have, but his wife does. Turns out she's the practical one. She has to do quite a bit of work. She supervises this large household with a household staff of servants. She does cattle herding, milking, slaughtering. She raises pigs, chickens, and geese. She has a vegetable garden outside the house and an orchard just outside of town and a farm about 2 days' journey from town in a place called Zulsdorf. Luther will write her letters when she's at Zulsdorf, kidding her. You know, he'll call her the rich lady of Zulsdorf to Frau Dr. Catherine Luther, who lives in the body at Wittenberg, but in spirit at Zulsdorf. Mein Herzeliebe, the love of my heart, greetings. His addresses to his wife in the beginning of his letters are sometimes they're just a hoot. Lord, my Lord Katie, he calls her sometimes, because she does run his life in all practical matters. In fact, he says this. In practical matters, domestic affairs, I defer to Katie. Otherwise, I'm led by the Holy Ghost. Right? His theology is his own, but his domestic life is all up to Katie. She runs the finances, she keeps the books, she pays off the servants, she collects the money from the boarders, which Luther wouldn't do. She makes sure that they keep track of income. One bishop once gave them a present of 20 gulden, quite a bit of money, and Luther wanted to just return it. For some reason. Katie insisted, no. He also wanted to give lavish presents, for instance, wedding gifts, and he wrote a letter saying, I'm going to give you this wedding gift as soon as I find out where Katie has hid it. So Katie is running a whole lot of things. On the other hand, this is a patriarchal system. At the dinner table, Katie calls him my lord or doctor, and she uses the formal you, and Luther uses the informal you. But that's actually another interesting feature. We know a lot about the texture of Luther's life with his wife because we hear a lot of what they talk about at the dinner table. There's all these student boarders. There's also faculty friends who come in for dinner. There's guests, there's visitors, there's travelers. They're all at the dinner table, and a bunch of them are taking notes. And so we have Luther's table talk. Several volumes of notes of things that Luther said at the table, his conversation with his wife, and so on. So we know a lot about what their family is like. It's one of the most famous families in history. We know more about what Luther was like with his shirt unbuttoned, sort of patting his stomach after a good meal. We know what that's like because we have these notes. Perhaps one of the most moving moments in these notes, and I'll close with this, is his talk about the death of his 13-year-old daughter, Magdalena. One of those things that the Pope doesn't have to deal with is children dying. Well, actually, popes did have children, but they didn't have legitimate children. Luther's saying, look, not only is the woman a good gift to the man, but children are a gift of God. We should boast of God's gifts, he says. In the last 1,000 years, God has given to no bishop such great gifts as he has given to me, and one should boast of God's gifts, he says. And he says that as his daughter is dying. She dies in his arms. His wife is outside because she can't stand to be in the room when it happens. The separation from her hurts him beyond description. But he says, how strange it is to know that she is at peace in heaven, that all is well with her, and yet to be so grief-stricken, so sorrowful. And he wouldn't trade it for the world. The Pope is not worthy of this, he says, about his children. He holds his child once. Another problem with children, his oldest son is cutting his teeth and is making a joyous nuisance of himself, crying and holding a temper tantrum. These are the joys of marriage, says Luther, of which the Pope is not worthy. There's a real affirmation of ordinary life with its ordinary sorrows, troubles, and work. And it's very appealing to the ordinary people of Germany, right? Not the spiritual life of the monks, but the life of the family, of wife, husband, and children. That is the Christian life and Christian piety as Luther teaches it and as he lives it.